Will you turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 15? Let us now hear the word of God as we find it before us. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now, this 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel has been called by some preachers and by some commentators God's lost and found department. In these 32 verses, the Lord Jesus Christ uses no less than four illustrations to show God's love for lost sinners and his desire to see them saved and restored to fellowship with himself. In verses 3 through 7, we have the illustration of the lost sheep. In verses 8 through 10, it is the story of the lost silver. In verses 11 through 24, it is the record of the lost son. And verses 25 through 32 tell the story of the lost sibling. Now, the backdrop for these illustrations, or these heavenly stories with earthly meanings, is found in the opening two verses of the chapter, verses 1 and 2, where Christ is seen reaching out to the publicans and sinners who came to hear him preach the word. This man attracted to himself ordinary people. The common people heard the Lord Jesus Christ gladly. They were drawn to him because they recognized the fact that he cared for them. These outcasts of society were especially drawn to the Savior. Now, he never compromised his message to gather a crowd. He always told things as they were. And I think that is something that we would always need to keep before us. It's our responsibility to tell the truth, to present the message of the gospel. And the message of the gospel is found in Luke chapter 15. The Lord uses simple words, words that the people could easily understand. He talked to them about everyday things, simple things that they were familiar with, simple things that they could relate to. And in so doing, he was able to present the claims of the gospel in a way and in a fashion that the ordinary common people could understand. So the Lord Jesus Christ draws these people to him. They were attracted to him because he cared. The religious people that we will come to speak about in a moment or two, the Pharisees and the scribes, they knew the scriptures, but they didn't know the Savior. They didn't recognize the fact that they were lost. But the publicans and the sinners did. And that's the problem with self-righteous people. They don't realize that they're lost. And if they don't realize they're lost, then they will have no desire to be saved. On the other hand, where you find publicans and sinners, the outcasts of society, burdened down with a load of care and sin, these are people who recognize that something has got to be done. And that makes them candidates for God's mercy and for God's grace. Now, who exactly were the publicans and the sinners? The publicans were also known as tax collectors. These people worked for the Roman government, and they were despised by the Jews because they were friendly with the enemy. And in addition to that, they placed on the people harsh and unfair tax burdens. Now, there were two kinds of publicans. You had the principal publicans, and Zacchaeus was one of the principal tax collectors. And we know what the Lord did for him. The Lord met him at the point of his need, and the Lord saved him. And then, of course, you had the deputies. And Matthew, or Levi, was one of the deputies. And these men, Zacchaeus and Matthew, or Levi, they were regarded as thieves because they gathered the taxes for the hated Romans. It was these very people that were drawn to Jesus Christ. Who were the sinners? Sinners, on the other hand, referred to the Jews who did not keep the law. They were looked down upon by the Pharisees. They were despised by other religious people. They were outcasts. But these outcasts, who were rejected by the followers of religion, were received by Christ, were changed by Christ. And we rejoice in that, because the Lord found us like publicans and sinners, outcasts, far from God, estranged from His grace. And due to His tender, loving mercy, He found us and He redeemed us and has changed us by His matchless grace. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now, the words of our text should be carefully noted, for they hold the key to understanding this entire chapter. In fact, they are indispensable to a proper interpretation of the stories which follow. Now, actually, the chapter should be considered as a unit rather than a collection of different, though related, accounts. The word parable appears only once in the chapter, and it is in the singular, in verse 3. Now, while there are three distinct stories, or four, if you take the story of the elder brother as a separate one, the transition from one to the other is carried on easily and without a break. And the Spirit of God uses such words as either "what woman" or "and he said a certain man had two sons." So there's a link here. It's all connected. It's a unit. And while there are three or four distinct stories, they all relate to the same subject: the loving heart of God towards sinners and the willingness of Christ to save sinners through the instrumentality of the Holy Spirit. This is the message we need to get across to men and women today. This good news that God loves sinners. He sent His Son to secure salvation for sinners on the cross, and through the instrumentality of the Holy Spirit, that pleases Him to bring lost sinners into the family of grace. Now, in the story of the lost sheep, in verses 4 through 7, attention is on the seeking shepherd. Now, this sets forth the goal of the good shepherd in giving his life as a ransom for the sheep. And the focus in this story, or this parable, is on the Son and the whole theme of redemption. Let us focus tonight upon the Son and upon His great work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. And I can assure you, if you're feeling low or downcast tonight, if you spend enough time dwelling upon the glories of the Son and upon His great work of redemption, your drooping spirits will be lifted and your soul will be refreshed and you will be richly blessed of God. So when we think about the lost sheep, we think also about the seeking shepherd and the work of the Son and redemption, because the shepherd gave his life for the sheep. In the Old Testament, it was the sheep who gave its life for the shepherd. But in the New Testament, Christ is the good shepherd, and He's the one who laid down His life for us, who are ill-deserving and hell-deserving, who deserve nothing but wrath and judgment and condemnation to eternity. But God is rich in mercy. He's rich in grace. And He found in the Son a perfect sacrifice. And He sent Him, and He assumed the responsibility of our sins, and He purchased our redemption by paying that ransom price. A banker many years ago had his daughter kidnapped. Those who kidnapped the daughter sent a letter, a ransom letter. They required $50,000. The man was told not to contact the police. He was fearful lest they would harm his daughter. So he went to the bank. He secured the money. He left the money in a bag. And that was it. The kidnappers came and took the money. They took the ransom. But they killed his daughter at the same time. They didn't honor their promise. But God, in the person of His Son, has found a ransom. Christ has offered Himself as the sacrifice for our sins. Thank God His blood was the ransom price. He offered it to God. God honors His word. God is gracious to the sinner. Rather than claiming the life, He gives life. He bestows His mercy and His grace and His pardon. So the focus is on the Son and His great work of redemption. And then in the story of the lost silver, in verses 8 through to 10, attention is on the operation of the Holy Spirit, illuminating and seeking lost souls through the witness of the church. And I take the woman in the story to represent the church. And the woman takes the candle, the light of the gospel, the light of the Spirit, and she begins to search in the home for the lost silver. Here's the church illuminated by the Spirit to go out after the lost. And here the focus is on the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit and illumination. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again. He needed the light of the Spirit. He needed his mind to be illuminated. He couldn't understand. He couldn't see. And sometimes we get frustrated with people when we minister to them and present the claims of the gospel to them. You've been frustrated with your family and friends. You have been declaring to them for years the gospel of grace. And you have been frustrated in the past because your efforts have been in vain, because they just don't understand. And there's a reason why they don't understand. It's found in the story of Nicodemus, who was a religious man, but he couldn't understand the truth of the gospel until the scales were removed. Saul, as he travelled on the road to Damascus, he was blind spiritually. And then the light shone from heaven and blinded him physically. So here's the emphasis. The Spirit of God is emphasizing something. He's blind spiritually, but he's also blind naturally and physically. And he can't help himself, so he's got to be taken by the hand into a house in Damascus. He's placed there in that home, and he sits there for 3 days in nature's darkness until a servant of God comes in, and at the command of God the scales fall from his eyes. And what happened there in that house when the scales fell off happened to him on the Damascus road when the scales were removed from his spiritual eyes. When he saw himself as a sinner before God, and when he cried, what will thou have me to do? The light was given. There was a change wrought in his heart by grace. What happened that day? The Spirit of God came and illuminated the mind. And then when Ananias came in representing the church, you can see the scales falling from his eyes. And God is pleased to use the ministry of the church and the power of the Spirit to evangelize and to reach those who were lost in the house. And in the story of the lost sons, plural, sometimes we look upon this final story as one story, and I think we can do that. But at the same time, when we come to read the story, we read about two sons. And the attention in this story, or these two stories, is on the father and his manner of welcoming and receiving and dealing with his lost sons. So the focus now is on the father and his work of reconciliation. You can see the boy returning. The father runs out to meet him. They embrace. What's that? It's a sign of reconciliation. The conflict has ended. Isn't that the usual way people make up when they have had differences in the past? They may have been at war for years. But when everything's settled, what happens? That man or that woman, that husband, that wife, that son, that daughter, they come together. Sometimes they shake hands. That's a sign of friendship. But at the same time, when they embrace, it's also a token of reconciliation. So in these parables, in these stories, in this account of God's lost and found department, we have brought before us the work of the triune God and the deliverance of lost sinners, the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Holy Ghost. Does it make it clear when you understand it in this way? The three words summarize the message of this chapter. The word lost, that's the reality. Sinners are lost. And if you're here tonight out of Christ, you're lost. And then the other word is found. We could say, that's the rescue. Because the sheep that was lost was rescued. Who rescued the lost sheep? It was the shepherd. Who is the shepherd? It's Christ. Now this man of verse 2 is Christ, the man of verse 4. He's the one who carries out the rescue. Thank God Christ came on a rescue mission. He comes to the publicans and to the sinners. People who are lost, ill-deserving, hell-deserving. He preaches the gospel to them. Their hearts are open to the gospel. They respond. He rescues them one by one. He brings them into his Father's fold. He's a wonderful shepherd. He's the one who does the job well. And he never fails in his mission. Everyone that he sets out to save or rescue, he rescues that one. Now it may take a long time, but then he's patient and merciful and gracious and patient. He persevered with us for years. Had it been left up to human beings, they would have said that person's not worth saving. They would have bypassed us, but not with our God, because he's loving and gracious and merciful. He's rich in mercy. He's abundant in grace. The shepherd sought until he found it. The woman sought until she found it. Do you see that? The shepherd didn't give up. The woman didn't give up. Christ never gives up until he finds the ones that he sets out to seek and to save. And when every last one is gathered in, then the rescue plan will have been successful. And every rescued one will be a redeemed one. And every redeemed one will be one who was saved by grace. And everyone saved by grace will be an elect one, given to Christ in the eternal covenants of grace and eternity past. How did they come? They came through believing the gospel. They came through a saving faith in Jesus Christ. They were born in trespasses and in sins, but grace triumphed in their hearts and lives and brought them to an end of themselves and brought them savingly to Christ. And Christ did the work. The Holy Spirit applied the truth. And God the Father welcomed them into his fold. The first word is lost. That's the reality. The second word is found. That's the rescue. And then there's the third word. Underline it in your Bible. It's the word rejoice. That's the rejoicing in heaven over sinners repenting of their sins. There's always rejoicing in heaven that lasts when sinners repent of their sins and believe the gospel. Even now the angels in heaven have cause to rejoice, because right across the face of the globe the Lord is bringing in the lost sheep. The lost silver has been found. The lost son has been reconciled to the Father. And right across the face of the globe tonight the good news has gone up to heaven. More sinners have been saved. And the angels are busy tonight, hallelujah, because they are rejoicing over lost sinners coming to trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. And what the angels rejoice in ought to cause us to rejoice. We ought to be rejoicing in the good news that Jesus saves and his precious blood makes us whiter than snow. So there are three words underlined: lost, found, and rejoice. I do believe that the publicans and sinners represent the prodigal, or the prodigal represents the publicans and sinners, whatever we want to put it. And the scribes and Pharisees represent the elder brother, or the elder brother represents the scribes and the Pharisees. And the truth is this: both were lost in sin. The one sheep, the one piece of silver, the one son is linked with the publicans and sinners. The 99 sheep, the 9 pieces of silver, and the other son, they're linked with the scribes and the Pharisees, because there are two kinds of people in these stories. And they're brought to attention in these opening verses. And they're both lost. Now when you think of the whole story, the sheep was lost in the wilderness. That was a place of danger. The silver was lost in the house, a place of darkness. And you could be lost in the house tonight. And then the son was lost in the far country. It was a place of disgrace. And we look out from the house tonight and we say, oh, look at that group of people out there in the far country. Aren't they most despicable? These people deserve the judgment of God. Look at the way they're living. And sometimes there's a tendency to think that way and to become pious and judgmental. Oh, we're in the house of God. We're in a free Presbyterian church. We're under the means of grace. We know better. But if you've never trusted Christ for salvation, you're lost in the house, in a place of darkness. The silver was lost in the house. And that's why the woman had to take the candle and light the candle. And you can imagine the work that she had to do. She had to take that brush or that broom, whatever she used, and she had to begin to clean and searching for the lost piece of silver. Oh, that God would come by his gracious Spirit and stir things up here, that every child in this house, that every man and woman who comes along to this place will be sure of their standing before God. May it be well with your soul for life and for death. It does make a difference if you have Christ during your sojourn down here. It does make the difference. But I want to tell you something. It also makes the difference for eternity. It's heaven or hell. Now in the first two parables, we see the Lord seeking the sinner. And that's the truth of the gospel. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But then in the third parable, we see the sinner seeking the Lord. Do you see that? The thought is, we seek him because he seeks us. We love him because he first loved us. Do you see the gospel here? Do you see the Trinity at work in the salvation of sinners? That's good doctrinal truth. Do you see the good work of regeneration by the power of the Spirit? Well, it's here. Do you see the great work of reconciliation? And we have dealt with these words on a Sunday morning in the Bible class. It's all here. It's in these stories, these simple stories, that the youngest child here can understand. And that's the way Christ preached. That's the way he dealt with men and women in his time. And we have got to be pointed. We have got to be forthright. We have got to be compassionate. We have got to be down to earth. And we have got to show the people that we minister to that we really do care. So Christ is portrayed in this particular chapter as the friend of sinners. And when the scribes and the Pharisees sneeringly said, "This man receiveth sinners," they did not realize it at the time. And I have to smile when I read this, because the Lord turned the whole thing right side up, or their whole plan upside down, if you like. For when they said this, they did not realize it. But they were really giving a tremendous testimony to his great mission in life. Do you see that? The Lord can take the very foolishness of men and he can turn it around so that his Son is lifted up. This is what the Lord can do. He did it then. And the Lord has still power to do the same today. It was a tremendous testimony to the mission of Jesus Christ, because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he clearly demonstrated in these following stories that very thing they found fault with. The very thing that they found fault with was exactly what he had come into the world to do. The Son of God came to do for sinners what the shepherd did for the lost sheep. What the woman using the light did for the lost silver. And what the father did for the lost sons. And as already pointed out, these three or four stories are meant to illustrate the one and the same truth, namely, Christ's willingness to save sinners. And our text is therefore a summary of what is taught at length in these parables. And there are three wonderful things worthy of attention, but I'm not going to preach on them now. I'm going to leave them for another day. Didn't even get to the message. That was just the introduction. We'll come back and we'll preach the message the next night. But there's food for thought there. Because this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them.